Blessed be the God of our salvation,
who bears our burdens and forgives our sins.
Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit murder.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir." He brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." But he said, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading Psalm 27. "God is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? God is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh, it was they, my foes and my adversaries, who stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid. And though war should rise up against me, yet will I put my trust in God. One thing have I asked of you, O God, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house all the days of my life, to behold your fair beauty, O God, and to seek you in your temple. For in the day of trouble you shall keep me safe in your shelter. You shall hide me in the secrecy of your dwelling and set me high upon a rock. Even now you lift up my head above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in your dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to you. Hearken to my voice, O Most High, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. You speak in my heart and say, 'Seek my face.' Your face, O God, will I seek. Hide not your face from me, nor turn away your servant in displeasure. You have been my helper. Cast me not away. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will sustain me. Show me your way, O God. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Deliver me not into the hand of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and also those who speak malice. What if I had not believed that I should see the goodness of my God in the land of the living? O tarry and await God's pleasure. Be strong and let your heart take comfort. Wait patiently for God."
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have seen in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I've often told you of them, and now I tell you with even tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to him. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See,
your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Let's be honest. There are some things we Christians really don't like to talk about. They make us uncomfortable, maybe even a little squeamish, certainly sometimes a little guilty. Does this mean I'm not a real Christian, we ask? I'm talking about disappointment with God or with our fellow believers. We tend to transfer disappointment in ourselves or in others to disappointment with God. In its most extreme expressions, it's called by theologians a theodicy, or why do bad things happen to good people? Or how can evil exist in a world that created God, the creator God pronounced good? However, this is neither the time nor the place to get into that theological discussion. But our readings this morning do lead us into a consideration of situations where disappointment is expressed or inferred by people of faith, even by Jesus himself. Suffice it to say, situations do arise in everyday lives that leave us disappointed. Disappointed with ourselves, disappointed with those around us. These days, the situation in the world and in our nation may leave us wondering how all this could have come to pass and yearn for things to get back to what we consider normal. A place where we feel at least comfortable and have the opportunity to be optimistic. We may even blame God. First off, let's honestly recognize the fact that these emotions are not unique. If we're honest with ourselves, we will certainly have to admit that we do have them from time to time. And a quick look at the lives of some folks which we would ordinarily consider to be paragons of Christian virtue will reveal perhaps a bit of surprise. For example, after her horse stumbled and threw her into an icy stream as she traveled to visit and encourage her nuns in a distant monastery, Teresa of Avila was said to have cried out, "Oh Lord Jesus, it's no wonder you have so few friends, seeing the way you treat them." Closer to our time, after her death in 1977, some personal letters written by Mother Teresa, that wonderful example of piety and unselfish service to the poorest of the poor, confessed that for many years she often felt disconnected from God and even doubted God's very existence. Abram, after being told that he would be the progenitor of a people chosen by God that would outnumber the stars in the heavens, complained, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I am childless. You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heirs." He was as much as saying, "God, I really don't think you might not be able to pull this off." St. Paul, writing a letter to the little church in Philippi, said, "I think maybe with a broken heart, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is their shame." Was his disappointment tinged with feeling that he had somehow let them down? That God had let them down? Or God had abandoned himself? Luke recounts Jesus' words, torn from his lips, I think with tears in his eyes, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and story and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have desired to gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." His pain and disappointment is real as he suffers in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prayed to be delivered from the awful death he was to face. Fortunately for our encouragement, these words, these feelings, are followed by words of comfort and affirmation. Of Abraham it is said, "And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness." Paul exults, "He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and love for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, my beloved." Jesus himself says, "You will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord.'" So how are we to deal with our fears, our emotions, and those spiritual deserts and times of disappointment that seem to come to all of us from time to time? Lent's a good time to reflect on these things. We've been reminded, as the ashes placed on our foreheads, that we are fallible, prone to disappointments and feelings of isolation, perhaps even dread. They mean that we are human. They may even mean that we become angry or disappointed with God. Perhaps we might reflect on some of the other words of St. Paul, this time in the church in Corinth. "No testing," he says, "has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and God will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, God will also provide the way out." And as the psalmist has written, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I then fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? O tarry and wait for the Lord's pleasure. Be strong. He shall comfort your heart. Wait patiently for the Lord." Let us pray that we may put away our common fears and our disappointments. Let us pray that we may acknowledge our common humanity, and that we, during this Lenten time of self-examination, may claim the promises of God's love and care for each one of us. After all, it is Almighty God who invites us to come under his wings, into his care and protection, no matter what the threat. Amen.
Please stand as you are able
and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
Creator Lord, you have given us eyes to see ourselves as we truly are, and the heart to accept your free gift of grace. Fill us now with the courage to step forward in faith, to repent of our sins, and to turn the life we have been given to your guidance and your service. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, impel the political leaders in our world, in our nation, in our community, to rally to your call and forsake the temptations of vanity of power, and to govern with integrity, equity, and truth. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, fortify and energize all who are anointed to bringing us your word and sacraments. As they shepherd us in faith, we walk together toward wholeness in you. We pray especially for our Bishop Megan, our Rector Pamela, our clergy, our staff, and all the lay leaders of this church. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, sustain the faith and dispel the despair of all who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and of all who attend to their needs. We now join our voices to pray aloud for all those in need, and especially those on our parish prayer list. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, lift us up from our grief into the hope of eternal life and joy. Reunite with all who now live again in glory with you. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. I do have several announcements to share with you this morning. First of all, it's good to see you all here. Our yellow sheet has a lot of information in it. This is, of course, always a busy season, so there's a lot going on. And if you don't get our email that comes out once a week, occasionally more often, but we try to stick to once a week, please let the office know so that we can send that out to you and find ways to be in touch. Friday's email that went out had a really important, I thought, excellent reflection. That was a Vestry News and Review, which we try to do once a month or so, written by Jim Jordan, so I hope you had time to read that. In terms of things that are happening after church today, we have the class that we started last week is continuing. It's based on Bishop Buddy's book, How We Learn to Be Brave. And if you have not read any of it, that's okay. You can still come. I think the conversation will still be very rich and helpful. We really had a great class last week. So that's going all through Lent. And then also we have these Wednesday night offerings. They're not happening here. They're happening at Davis Lutheran. We had our first one last week, and it was really fabulous. It was my first time experiencing Holden evening prayer, which is a Lutheran tradition that I really enjoyed. This week I'll be giving the short meditation. But we need more soup makers and bringers. So there is a sign-up sheet in the narthex, and if you're able to bring a pot of soup, ideally in a crock pot or something that will keep it warm, then there's lots of soup for everybody. And I think we had a really good array, variety last time. We maybe could have used a couple more vegetarian options. But it was really great, and I hope more and more of us will show up for that as Lent progresses. Lots of other things happening, things that we're looking ahead to, like needing some dramatic readers for the Passion Play that we have on Palm Sunday, and also for some of the Easter Vigil readings that we try to make a little bit more dramatic than simply reading them straight from the Bible. And just many other things that I hope you will pay attention to. Next Sunday, is that already next Sunday, the 23rd? Wow. We are having in-between services. We sometimes try to do things that can help with the 8 o'clockers being able to go right into something. So in-between services, STAKE, one of our longtime ministry partners, the Short-Term Emergency Assistance Committee, is going to give people tours of the trailer that they have in back. That's their pantry. It's where a lot of people are referred throughout the week when they need assistance. So we do need to know. They can only take 10 people. That's why we're asking for signups. So please do let us know if you want to take part in that. Lots of other things, like I said, I won't read them all out. Did we get any? We didn't get any celebrations or milestones. That's too bad. Bob, your birthday today? Happy birthday. I'm back here. It was Crystal's birthday. Another hand raised. Colette? No? I thought I saw somebody back there. Okay, yes, Molly. Oh, another birthday, turning 16, yes. Another birthday, your brother's birthday, yes. Your granddaughter's birthday. Thursday seems to be a big day for birthdays. Okay, well, that's wonderful to have many birthdays to celebrate. One. Turned 18 on the 14th. Aw, that's so sweet. All these 15, 16, 18-year-olds. We have a celebrations and milestones prayer that we say together. It's on page 7. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I don't know if our ushers have the bags out, but I know they're quick if we need them. If you are a newcomer and you have not received a welcome goodie bag, please raise your hand so that we can share that with you. Or maybe it's your birthday and you just want the chocolate that's inside. I won't tell anybody. So while we're looking around for that, I'll say a word about communion. We have communion at the altar rail. Last week was our first week doing that in some time. The one thing that's the same as when we had stations is that you get to choose the side based on whether you would like to intinct or I intinct, whether you would like to have me intinct the bread into the wine and give it to you with your outstretched hand, or whether you would like to have the bread and the wine be separate. So same sides as what you're used to for that. This side is for intinction, and the other side is for the separate bread and wine. You can come to the altar rail and stand. You can kneel. You can just cross your arms, indicating you'd like a blessing instead of communion. And of course, if it's difficult for you to come forward, just let us know, and we will bring communion to you. The communion bread is homemade, but it's vegan and gluten-free, and everyone is welcome to receive communion in our church. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and make good your vows to the Most High. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. By his grace, we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. And gracious God, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Maker of all. Jesus stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Almighty God, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in Christ. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior, by Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.